A lot of stuff. I got a lot of things to cover, but before I get to my stuff, tell me what you'd like to talk about.
Well, there's a couple of things. I did send that text message. I talked last time we talked. We talked about a very specific case.
Yeah, the $8 million man.
Right, and you gave me the verbiage, and I sent the text message to him probably within an hour of when you and I had spoken, and of course I didn't get any response whatsoever. I haven't heard anything, and so I haven't done anything since then. I thought I'm not going to chase him. I'm not going to go after him. And then just a few days ago, I had my monthly call with the gentleman who referred him. And so we got on and had a very good call, and everything went well. And I did not even ask about him, and he didn't bring him up, and I didn't bring him up either. So that's the latest on that particular story.
My deep belief is he was never going to be an account.
Mm.
And it was nothing about you. There's something that we don't know, something that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have any idea what it is.
Right, right.
I don't know if I is he somebody you could send a Christmas card to?
Yeah, I mean, I have his address, sure.
Send him a Christmas card.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be anything else, but wishing you a Merry Christmas and a great 2018, Kent Deaver, Deaver UBS.
Perfect.
There's just something there. I can. You remember Mayberry? You remember Goober?
Watched it all the time as a kid, and growing up in North Carolina, you were. It was almost required watching.
Goober came in one day to the office, and he had all his money in short-term fixed income. And this is going back to 1990. We were in the old office, so it would have been 1997, early 97 at the earliest.
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many things he could have done with no more risk that would have returned more,
mm-hmm.
and he just wouldn't do it.
Hmm.
And I don't know why. So you run into people like this. He just was, maybe the fellow who's your client, the fellow who's your client, referred him. Maybe he didn't want to disappoint your client. I don't know, but
mm-hmm.
I'm convinced, Kent. It's disappointing not to get it. But to me, it's not quite as disappointing if my theory is right, and I'd bet a couple of shekels on it. That you never had a shot, and I bet the money is in the exact same place that it was before.
Can you hold on 1 second for me, Rob? I'm sorry.
Take your time.
Rob?
Yep.
I'm so sorry. I try never to do that to you, but
it's okay.
That was important. I think you're right. I think there's things that we don't know, and I'm with you. I think the money's sitting right there. And throughout my 32-year career, I have met a few people like Goober where they either have so much money or they spend so little that they're completely indifferent to the rate of return that they get, and they're not motivated by it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wouldn't spend a lot of time fussing about something you did wrong, because I got two guesses. You never had a shot, and he may be back.
Right.
All right. Let's move on to something. That call you took, you don't hurt my feelings if you got something that you got to get done.
No. Thank you for saying that. But that call is the very thing I want to talk to you about today. And so when she called in, I needed to know if something had changed.
All right. You go ahead.
Okay.
Tell me what you want to talk about.
All right. This is a client that I've had. Her name is Elaine Zolli. She's a client that I've had for many years, long enough, Rob, that I can't even quite remember how I got her. But at any rate, she's an older lady, grew up in New Jersey, and, you know, typical New Jersey, New Yorker. She says, I hate everybody in the world, including God. And I try to say, please don't say that. But she and her husband lived, he was in manufacturing, and they lived a charmed life, and they sold their business, and then they traveled around the world on their boat. And he died at a pretty early age, and she moved out to Las Vegas for whatever reason. And so I've had her account for many, many years, and it's mostly a muni bond account. She had some old annuities that we put into what I thought were better annuities, and she has a sister who she finally referred to us. The sister has a daughter who's mentally incapacitated, but a very sweet girl. She's always lived at home with her mother. She's in her early 40s now, and very nice. So the sister dies over the last couple of years, and so she inherits her account. I've worked with several attorneys with her trying to set up trusts for her niece, because when Elaine dies, Elaine doesn't have any children. She's got a few cousins around, but she doesn't have any really close immediate family. And so her biggest concern is Tiffany, who's the mentally handicapped girl. You know, she wants to make sure she's taken care of for the rest of her life. It's probably about a $6 million account. And again, $5 million of it is in munis, and about $1 million is in an annuity. So at any rate, I've referred her to attorneys. Every attorney I refer her to, she'll work with them, and then she hates them. And we've tried to set up guardians for her. Every guardian, we went out and interviewed several. Every one of them, she hates them. When she was trying to sell her car to her next door neighbor, she didn't want to go down to the DMV. And so I went online and I found the form that they needed to fill out, and got that over to her so she didn't have to go to the DMV. So it's been a long-term relationship. And then about 3 or 4 months ago, she got a phone call from a gentleman talking to her about her Medicare or Medicaid or whatever it is, and wanted to come out and visit with her. And so he came out and visited with her. And next thing I know, I'm getting a call from the annuity company saying, hey, this annuity is about to be snatched out underneath your feet. So I called her and I said, hey, Elaine, what's going on? And she said, well, this guy came and I don't know what he's talking about, and so forth and so on. I said, well, did you know you're moving your annuity? And she said, no, I was not aware of that. And she said, he wanted to look at everything I had. I said, and you showed him? She said, yeah. I said, Elaine, you need to give me a call before you do this kind of stuff. I know, I shouldn't have. But he came over here with the pretense of helping me with my Medicaid, choosing the right plan, and then he wanted to look at everything, and so I thought it was okay. So I called the annuity company. I ran out to her house, which she lives about 30 minutes from my office. I ran out there, had her sign the letter. We were able to send the letter in, and we were able to stop the 1035 exchange.
Hmm.
So then she calls me last week and says, why did you sell my $250,000 annuity? I said, Elaine, what are you talking? I haven't sold anything. What's going on? Well, you've sold it, and I'm kind of upset about it. I said, Elaine, I haven't sold anything. I said, how many years have you known me? She said, a long time. I said, how many times have I ever sold anything that I didn't consult you with? And she said, never. I said, okay, so what's going on? So apparently she had an annuity that I didn't know anything about, and he has done a 1035 on that annuity, and she got paperwork in the mail saying, you know, it was being liquidated. So I called her back, and I said, hey, Elaine, this, you have an annuity I've never seen. She said, well, everything I've had, I've given you copies of. I said, well, in this case, maybe you didn't, but I said, this is what's going on here. And so we got to talking about it, and so he's, you know, got his hands into another annuity.
You still there, Rob?
I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay.
I'm about ready to throw up, but go ahead.
Well, my earpiece was about to go out, so my computer wasn't working this morning, and the cleaning ladies knocked off the earpiece, so it didn't charge all weekend. So. So I didn't want to lose you. So at any rate, I said, Elaine, you know, I'm not the one who did this. And, you know, I said, I need to come out and visit with you. I need to take a look at what's going on. And she said, okay. She said, that would be a good idea. And so I got off the phone and I called the gentleman because I had his name. I knew who he was. And he's one of these independent guys. And so I called him. And I said, hey, Bob, I said, what's going on with Elaine here? I said, she called me pretty upset about a $250,000 annuity that I didn't have anything to do with. And, you know, he's one of these kind of a slick willy guys. Well, I used to work at Wells Fargo Bank, and, you know, I worked in the trust department, and now I have my own business, and, you know, and I'm just trying to help her, and that annuity she has is not a good annuity. And I've looked over what you've done for her. And the munis look okay, you know, I work with somebody else, and we could probably do a better job. And you've got some bonds that are coming due. You need to be aware of that. And, you know, he says, I'm not going to talk bad about you, and I'm not going to do this and that. But he said, I will tell you this. He said, when I first time I talked to her, she called me and said that she was pretty upset with you, that you had not returned her phone calls, and she was pretty upset. And I said, well, I'm trying to, I said, I have never not returned her phone calls. I said, I'm concerned about her. I'm trying to work with her. You know, you're selling an annuity, and then she's calling me asking me. So I said, you know, I'm really very concerned about her. I want to know who you are and what you're doing here. Oh, you know, I've been in the business, and I looked over her trusts, and I know the attorneys you referred her to, and they're good attorneys, and I'm not an attorney, but I've looked over the trusts, and I've made a couple of suggestions to her. I don't think she's followed through on the suggestions. And, oh, by the way, she told me she was meeting with him today, which is Monday. And, so I just kind of played along and I said, fine, that's okay. And, so I said, well, I'm very concerned about her. And he said, well, I am too. That's what I'm concerned about. Oh, and he said he put her into an indexed annuity with a 10-year, surrender charge. And I said, I'm going to tell you, I'm not a fan of indexed annuities and a 10-year surrender charge for a woman of her age. Well, she told me she was never going to touch the money. And he says, and you put her into a variable annuity, and I'm not a fan of variable annuities. And I said, okay, I understand. So anyway, the conversation remained cordial, and we both said, you know, we just want to take good care of her. And, so I called her back. I hung up the phone and I called her back, and I said, Elaine, I just want to let you know I talked to Bob Hoffman, and Bob told me that when he met you that that you had told him that I had not returned a couple of phone calls and you were pretty upset. She exploded. She said, you have always returned my phone calls. I have never said that to anybody, and I don't know why he would say that. And I said, well, that's what he said. And I said, you know, I'm a little bit nervous about this guy. You know, I'm not really sure what's going on. I said, from now on, you need to consult me. You need to talk to me. I'm your financial advisor. I think you trust me. Oh, I trust you. I said, I'm nervous when you start talking to people that I don't know or other people coming over. And I said, and he's coming Monday. I said, what is he coming to talk to you about on Monday? Because it sounds like this one annuity is already done. And she says, I'm not really sure. So then I got the brilliant idea, and I said, would you like me to be there Monday when he comes? She said, I would love that. I wanted to ask you to be here, but I just didn't feel comfortable doing it. I said, I don't know why you wouldn't feel comfortable, but I said, if you want me to be there on Monday, I will definitely be there. She said, you just don't know how much weight you've just lifted off my shoulders. I want you to be here. I want you to hear what he has to say, because I don't understand exactly what's going on. And so that was last Wednesday or Thursday. And so I called her Friday, and I said, Elaine, I just want to let you know I'm going to be at your place about a half an hour before he shows up. And, you know, and we're just going to sit and we're going to listen. And then when he leaves, we'll talk about what he has to say. And she says, oh, I'm just so grateful that you're coming. I said, yeah. I said, I'm a little bit disturbed, you know, that he would tell me that you were upset with me. She said, well, I don't think he means any harm by it. She was a little bit different Friday than she was on Wednesday. And so.
Go ahead.
So I'll just finish up here. So she was calling to let me know that her pipes had broken and she had some water damage this morning. And I said, well, do you need to reschedule? She says, no, I just wanted to let you know when you come here, I may not have running water. And I was going to try to feed you a little lunch, but I can't. I said, that's no problem. So I didn't know why she was calling this morning. And so that's why I jumped off of the call. So that's the story.
I just pulled up his profile on LinkedIn. He's at Wells Fargo for 11 years, at U.S. Bank for 2.5 years, and this place is called America's Financial Solutions. He's the president of that. He's been there for 3 years, so he's moved around a little bit. Humboldt State University, where is that?
I don't know.
What do you want to accomplish, Kent? This is people like this are dangerous. I don't know if I told you this story, but a friend of mine, but mainly my wife's husband died, and he had purchased about $1.5 million in life insurance, and the guy he bought the insurance from just assumed he was going to get the proceeds. And I went with her. He made a proposal. He knew almost nothing. He made a proposal. It was all annuities. And it was, it was about a $19,000 day for him. It was, these people are dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this guy is or not, but this was a guy who said he was in the investment business, but what he was an annuity salesman. Now, I don't know if this guy is the same way. So, Elaine is, what kind of business, what kind of revenue does Elaine do?
It's over $10,000 a year.
In what, munis?
Yeah, mostly munis, and then there's $1 million annuity there that throws off 1%.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to accomplish there?
I want to bury the guy. That's what I want to do.
Yeah. I'd like to help you. Practically, when he says he's not saying anything bad about you, that's a pretty good indication that he is.
Yeah, right.
His eyes are going around like slot machines looking at all the annuity commissions here.
Yeah.
So she's signing things. I mean, is she competent?
Yeah, she is, but she's She's competent but not knowledgeable. And I just, I'm amazed that she would allow somebody in to kind of, I mean, she says, you know, this is so complicated, but I've dealt with her for years and she trusts me. I'm between you and me, I'm floored that she allowed this guy in, but he's a slick willy. She allowed him in based on a pretense of help, getting help with her Medicare or Medicaid. And somehow he's been able to do this.
How old is she?
She's 69.
Okay, she's not. My guess is she's not eligible for Medicaid. That's for basically indigent people.
Well, whatever insurance she has to sign up for, her supplemental or whatever that is.
Yeah. It's supplemental. And that people who do that service, it is complicated. It is really complicated. And we've just gone through, I think you had until December the 15th to do something about your supplemental plan. So that was his pretext to help her make the right supplemental plan. And in reality, all the supplemental plans are the same, no matter where you buy them. If you get a supplement F or a supplement G, it's all the same, no matter where you buy it. The only difference is how it's priced.
Got it.
So that's probably how he got in the door. You know, she's got to make this. I don't want you defending yourself. He is not your boss. If he wants to say he could have gotten better municipal, that's his opinion. You know, you make your bet on people. She's known you for 10 years. Here's a guy who came in to see her based on helping her with her Medicare supplement, which is really easy. Whatever she had last year, she just signs up for again. They're all the same except for price. She's got to decide who she wants to trust. The guy who said he was coming to do one thing and did another, or you, who she's known for 10 years. It's that simple.
Yep.
And for you to get in a position where he's looking at your, you know, everything's pretty obvious looking back.
Right.
And if he's there using hindsight on what you've chosen to do, you should have purchased longer maturities. Didn't you know interest rates were going down? I mean, it's a no win for you.
Right.
If you get there before he does, he's going to be pretty surprised you're there, I would think.
That's one of the things I'm hoping to accomplish, yeah.
My guess, what I think is that, I mean, you have to, he's not going to go away for a while. He's already gotten a fat check, and he sees other fat checks there. And everything he does will be with annuities.
Right.
You want to tell Elaine, this man, here's what I think I know. He came to see you to talk about your supplement. What the supplement does is basically pick up where Medicare leaves off.
Right.
Medicare only covers percentages. So the supplemental is there to be the backup.
Right. Fill the gap.
Yeah, it's very valuable, but it's not horribly complicated. It is until you understand it, isn't that a wise statement? So here he has. He's come in to talk to you about this, and now he's talking to you about other things. He really has gotten in to see you under false pretense. You've known me for 10 years. You know that I always communicate. I always am working in your best interest. You don't know him. You don't know him very well. I'm just very uncomfortable with you taking advice from someone you don't know very well. And I'd be honest with you. You don't want to slander the guy.
Right.
I mean, he did get in to see her under false pretenses, it seems. Maybe you don't say it that way, but he came to talk to you about your Medicare supplement. Is that right? Yes, that's right. Well, now he's talking to you about other things. There's nothing that he can do for you that I cannot do for you at UBS. I've worked with you trying to get a trust set up for Tiffany. I've worked with you on a lot of things that are what I do because we have a great relationship. I think it's going to get down, Elaine, to you believing Mr. Hoffman or believing me. And with a 10-year track record of trust with you, I think that I'm the right choice. So that's I would be that frank with it. Just be careful you don't inflame it,
right.
Slam the guy. But that's really what it gets down to. It's, you make your bet on people. You build trust over time. She's built up trust with you, and I know this guy. I don't know. I feel fairly strongly that if he managed all her business, it would look there'd be a lot of annuities in there with a lot of upfront charges.
Yeah.
And he would move on to the next one. So it's easy for him to look back at what you've done and criticize it. I could take Warren Buffett. And with the benefit of hindsight, shown where he could have made more money.
Sure, absolutely.
It doesn't take any skill to use hindsight.
No.
So don't get sucked into defending yourself with this guy. I would be firm with him. I don't know if he has his client's best interest at her. Best interest at heart. I don't know that, but I know you do. So it really gets down to who she's going to believe. And if she wants to make this, if she wants to send this guy a cease and desist, I'm sure there's a way to do that. Sometimes people are, she hates everybody, but she lets this guy come into her house.
Right. Exactly.
I'm sure that you can talk to an attorney. I got somebody who's messing around with one of my clients. He's confusing her. She wants him to never call again. How do I get that done? I mean, he is gonna revisit her and revisit her and confuse her and confuse her.
Yeah.
I would have the conversation with her. I would be firm. Who do you want to trust? You know me. I've always had your best interest at heart. We've had a good relationship. We've worked on a lot of things. Or do you want to believe this person who, knocked on your door or whatever?
Yeah.
And I would just ask her that question and then shut up and listen.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what to do, Kent. I know that's. That's why it makes sense to stay with me. You know what I bring to the table. You know what kind of person I am. You know I have your best interest at heart. I'm not some guy that showed up on your doorstep. But you stopped the one annuity. Now she's looking at another one. The one that did you know what kind of annuity it was he swapped for this 10-year surrender charge annuity?
Well, yeah, it was a variable annuity with me. Well, the variable annuity I had with her is one I put a stop to. This new one I didn't know anything about. He told me it was an indexed annuity, and I asked him what the surrender charge was, and he told me 10 years. So I stopped one because it was in my name, but this other one I didn't even know anything about.
Is it still within the free look period?
I'm going to find out.
That would be the way. There's no hurry on this until she sorts all this out. I mean, she's got somewhere in their paperwork. How long is this? Is the free look on this stuff?
I thought it was 30 days.
I don't know. When did she? You don't know when she bought it?
I don't know when she bought it, but she obviously just recently got paperwork, so it's had to have been recent and must have been around the time. When we put the stop to the one, he must have started on the other one because he started with the biggest one.
Yeah, he's not going away. That's the other another thing I would do. I would ask her to look at the paperwork.
Oh, I am. When I go, I've asked her, I said, bring out the paperwork that you've got. I want to take a look at it.
Yeah, so you've got a lot to accomplish before he shows up. What's the difference between an index annuity and a variable annuity?
The index annuities I just absolutely hate. The index annuities, number one, you don't have to have a securities license to sell an indexed annuity. And what they do is that they use S&P futures, and they say if the market goes up, you participate on the upside. But if the market goes down, you don't participate on the downside at all. It's a wonderful story. It's the one we all want. The market goes up, I participate. The market goes down, I don't. But the problem with an index annuity is you have what are called participation rates. And
Yeah.
so if the market goes up 10%, you may only participate in 5% or 4 or 3.
Yeah.
And it also doesn't include the 2.5% dividend on the S&P. It's what they call point to point. On the day we buy it, we look at the S&P, and then a year later, we look at the S&P, and it does not include the dividends.
And
And
a variable does.
yes.
I wasn't a big annuity person. I just didn't, I didn't hate them. I just didn't do many of them.
Yeah, I probably my book consists of probably less than 5% of annuities.
Yeah. Your practice. Come on,
Practice,
Ken.
my practice. Yes, my practice.
That was an early lesson. All right.
Yeah.
So here's the game plan. As I if I were your position. Number one, I want to look at that annuity and determine whether or not you're still within the free look period. And number two, I want to have the trust conversation with her. And
Right.
I would say, if she says, "Well, what should I do?" I'd say, "I'd put all this on hold. Let me look at everything, and then make a decision." I mean, where did the money come from for her to buy that annuity?
I don't know. It's old. I mean, she's got lots of money. It's got to be a very old. It's probably a 20-year-old annuity.
And with that, it would have had no surrender charge.
Absolutely none.
And so he just 1035'd it, and now, that to me, three things, Ken. Four, get there early. Review the annuity. Have the trust conversation with her, and don't get sucked into him grading your homework. He hasn't earned that right. And he said, "Well, let's look at this." So I have no interest in going through this with you. It makes no sense to do this. I go through this with Mrs. Whatever, with Elaine, every month. I'm just not going to do
Well, here's my take, and
So.
I agree with you. I'm going to get there early, and I told her I want to look at the paperwork that she has. The trust conversation, you've done that, and I like the idea. I'm not going to defend myself, but what I was planning to do was I'm going to. She doesn't walk real good, so I'm going to ask her if I can answer the door when he walks in. I want to be the first person he sees.
Yeah.
And then if he asks me, why are you here? I'm going to tell him. I'm here because Elaine wants me to be here. Not that she asked me to be here. I'm here because she wants me to be here. I'm her financial advisor. She and I are going to sit and listen to what you have to say today, and then when you leave, we'll sit down and discuss it together.
Yeah, Kent, that's a great way to think about it. And as I think back about saying you're not going to sit there and go over that portfolio, that's a that could almost sound like you don't want you're hiding something. I would just say, using hindsight to look at what I've done is, I don't think, a very useful process.
Right. What
But
I would like to do between you and me, Rob, is I'm
The purpose of our meeting here today is to listen to what you have to say.
Right. Yeah, we just want to hear what you
Okay.
have to say.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yes, I love that.
Okay. All right. So what I would like to do, Rob, is I would like to say, with him sitting there, I'd like to say, now, Bob, when you and I spoke on the phone the other day, you told me that Elaine was very upset because I hadn't returned her phone calls, and Elaine tells me she never said that. That's what I would like to do, but I don't feel as comfortable with that. But I would. I'd love to bury this guy.
Yeah, I would hold that in reserve. He has to say, I didn't say that. What are you talking about? Are you crazy?
Right, exactly. He'll lie.
I don't know if he will or not, Kent, but he could.
Yeah, that's true.
So the purpose of the meeting here today is to hear what you have to say. I'm here because Elaine wants me to be here. I'd love to, and the part about after you make your presentation and leave, then Elaine and I are going to talk about what you've had to say and how it fits with everything else she's doing.
Good. Okay. That was my pre-planned speech.
Yeah, and you know how it fits with everything else she's doing. And I would tell Elaine, this is what I think we should do. Let's hear his let's hear what he has to say. And then you and I can talk it over and see how it fits with everything. After he leaves, how it fits with everything else you're doing.
Yeah, good. I like that.
All right, what time's that meeting?
I'm going to her place at noon, my time, and then he's showing up at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, good. You got the high ground here, Kent. You got the high ground. Don't let him buffalo you or whatever. You're there to hear what he has to say. If he doesn't want to do that, then I think that tells you some of what you need to know.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, and then if he's really bothering this woman, then you got to talk to your boss and say what do I do, and get some advice from him.
Yeah.
But you're
and I'm going to be a little bit proactive. I'm going to say now, Elaine, I don't know what he's going to say. I don't know what he's going to present. But if he says he wants to talk to you one-on-one, Elaine, I wouldn't agree to that if I were you. I'm your financial advisor. You want me here to be able to help and understand. So if he requests a one-on-one, I think you should decline that.
Yeah. You know, the other thing about the index fund, as you explained it, is if every year, let's say it's up 4% this year, does that become the new baseline, or is the baseline always what you put in it?
The baseline is always what you put in it.
So it could grow at 5% a year for 5 years, and if the market's down 25%, she's back to zero?
No, you get to keep if it's up 4%, you get to keep that. But let's say next year, the second year the market is down. Well, when the market's down, you don't earn anything at all. So now you've got the first year you got your 4%. The second year you got zero. So now you've got a 2% average for those 2 years.
Yeah, I got it. All right.
I mean, sometime, Rob, when you have absolutely nothing else to do, pull up index annuities, and for every one positive article, you'll see 20 that are negative. And the bottom line is that index annuities rarely give you a better return than a bond portfolio.
Yeah.
But the story is wonderful.
Yeah, sure. All risk and no reward. That's always a true story.
Oh, sure.
One other thing, going back to this lady I helped, friend of my wife's, is he proposed a fixed annuity for her that was less than what you could have gotten from a AAA corporate bond. And even she, and I say even because she's not a financial person, she picked up on that. So
wow.
there's you know, if you got a product that gives you upside and no downside, you you've probably got a problem on your hands. So
yep.
Hey, drop me an email and tell me how it goes. This guy is, you got the high ground here. You're her advisor. Approach it that way. He's there to sell her something. He's not there to provide a solution. And that's what investing, what you do with investing. You bring on investments or products that will meet a need. He's leading with the product, not the need.
Yeah.
Is if she's worth, how much is she worth? $6.5 million?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think she's got to worry about feeding herself.
No.
She's 67?
67, 69. I'm trying to, everything's in a trust, and so the UBS's system doesn't throw up her birth date. I have to go somewhere else to get her birth date, which is a real pain in the butt.
Is her money in trust at UBS?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's the trustee?
She is.
Yeah. All right. Why is it in trust?
Because she's very specific as to what she wants to have happen when she dies for her niece Tiffany.
Okay. All right. That all makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
How did you find him so fast on LinkedIn? We can't get LinkedIn here at the office.
I just went to Google and typed.
Well, I tried to do the broker check on him, and it wasn't coming up.
Well, maybe he isn't licensed. You said it doesn't take. You don't have to be licensed to sell a index annuity, didn't you?
Yeah, securities license. You don't have to be. You don't have to be securities licensed. Just.
I just typed in Bob Hoffman, Las Vegas, and I think I put investments or something like that.
Okay.
But the name of his company is America's Financial Solutions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's him.
All right. I got to go get dressed for a funeral.
Yes, you do. I'll email you.
I'd love to hear. Stand your ground.
I will.
You're the advisor. He's the salesman.
Got it.
All right.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
See you, Ken.
Bye-bye.
Bye.